Good morning. 00 hours. Cloudy. 41 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Cloudy. 41 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Cloudy. 41 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Cloudy. 41 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Cloudy. 37 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Cloudy. 37 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Cloudy. 36 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network.
At ADBS. WNFU. Geez, were we all waiting for each other? KERUH. Morning, fellas. Go ahead, Sean.
Good morning. Just hitting the road here. Just turned off my street onto the Quinder and heading in. Good morning, Anthony.
Did we lose Dakota that fast?
Probably getting ready or something. But, this is about as good as it gets today. I think it's going to come up a few degrees. So today is, this is about it. But, yeah, and it's supposed to warm up. But, you know, we're there. You know, March going out, April, spring. So it's the last hurrahs. I doubt we're going to get anything serious from here on out. But you never know with Michigan, right?
That's right. You never know. I can remember snowstorms in mid-April, so we'll see. Is All-Star doing that thing where it's not receiving?
No. Were you transmitting? Because we did not hear you until this one.
There must have been a little bit of a blip there because I didn't hear Anthony, and then Anthony came back and said, did we lose Dakota? And then I transmitted, and I didn't get that, the courtesy beat, so a little network hiccup. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I don't know. I can look at the, I got push notifications set up, and they tell me when anything drops off the hub and comes back, so we can look and see what happened.
That's cool. So you are notified now when it drops, and hopefully it doesn't drop that often anymore now that you got the warrant fixed. What's weird is I didn't drop. I could still hear you guys, and the repeater was still repeating. It's just been sending it over ASL.
So here's something funny. I've got in my push notifications all at 6:37, hub connected to Central Michigan, hub connected to you, hub connected to Phil, hub connected to Richmond, Romeo, and Warren. All reported connected at 6:37. There was some sort of a major hiccup. So it wasn't you specifically.
Cody, you're just the lucky one that got to identify it, it sounds like.
Well, with a backyard repeater comes great responsibility, so I try to pay attention to these things.
There you go. But, yeah, I don't know what that was. First time I'd ever seen that. But, yeah, every single connection to the hub reestablished at 6:37. I don't see any of them dropping. So, very, very strange. The hub could have rebooted. You could have got the last dying... Hoorah, as we were finishing out there. But, interesting. That doesn't happen too terribly often. Any one machine can drop off, you know, that's a given, but that had to be something at the hub. I can do a further post-mortem later. But, like I said, it was something at the hub. Who knows? I'm trying to bring the hub local. I'm trying to bring it into the area here, because something as simple as a burp between Mayville or Burnside and Romeo could shut my whole network down, because my hub is in Fenton. So I'm trying to bring the hub back into the county here so that I'm less likely to lose, you know, everything, because everything's got to go to Fenton to connect up to the hub.
That's interesting. What type of environment does the hub have to go into? Is it in a server farm? Is it just in a facility that has redundant internet and power? Or I don't even know what a quote-unquote hub would consist of.
Go ahead, John.
Well, you should. You sold us like 100 of them. Now we just run them on those voice boxes that we got from you. Nothing special. And, you know, I mean, if it's something as, you know, as an anchor as the, you know, as the FBI hub, I would like to have it on a UPS and then in the facility with backup power with a generator. It doesn't have to be, you know, if you're fault tolerant. But, you know, I don't want that to go down, so, you know, putting it in some place. Right now I've got it running in Fred's data center, and it's on a virtual machine and one of his Blade servers, so, you know, it's just easy. You know, it was easy to do when we were, you know, putting in the big network and all that, and it's worked fairly perfect. I haven't had any real issues, but I do worry sometimes that, you know, every repeater on my system has to traverse the network to Fenton, and every external connection coming in has to, you know, make its way to Fenton, and then that has to, and then from there, you know, it goes back out to all the repeaters. And I just think keeping the, you know, having the hub locally here with, let's say, the 2.6, where I can give it, you know, UPS power and generator is, I'm just a little bit more likely to keep my stuff running in the event of some strange burp.
That makes sense. So,
in reality, it could be at your house. You may not want it that way, but you don't need some big high-end data center to put it in. It might be nice if it was there because they would have all the redundancies, but it could kind of go anywhere, it sounds like. Go ahead, Dakota.
Yeah, it's pretty lightweight. It's not like it needs anything crazy. It's more or less the power and reliable internet.
Yeah, I'd never pull it off the MI6, right? You know, because that has low latency and high uptime and high reliability. So I'm not subject to any internet. So if I get it local on the MI6 network, then all my, you know, we may lose internet, so people coming in via the internet we could lose, but chances are, you know, the repeaters in the system are going to be, you know, pretty rock solid into that. And I could put it at home, but then it's subject to any kind of, like, flakiness my home internet has, and trust me, there's plenty, you know, whereas if I put it at, I'll probably put it at Warren 2. Right now, the repeater's at Warren 1, and then Richmond and Romy. And I'll probably put the hub at Warren 2 and call it a day. But I guess I could put it at Warren 1, but I worry about that link sometimes.
MI6 is its own standalone, right? Like, as far as network?
Yeah, it's a Central Michigan owned and operated network. My network is commercial. It runs mixed. It's partitioned. And there's an MI6 component, and then there's my 10-dot commercial component running on it. And, you know, they both serve a different purpose. So that's kind of, I went a different route with mine. I put in a commercial network first that is partitioned off to do the MI6 stuff. So it's definitely part of MI6, but slightly different in that regard.
Connected to CMN network.
All this stuff is so interesting and at face level so far above my head, but I like hearing about it because I would love to understand more of it.
Speaking of interesting, did you get your open spot program?
Man, I think I'm about 70% of the way there. I put about an hour, I don't even want to say an hour, 45 minutes, 30 minutes into it yesterday, and then something came up and I had to scoot out of the house and go meet somebody. But I think I'm on the cusp of having it done. There's a couple little silly things that I'm trying to figure out that if I get the opportunity later today or this evening, I may just give you a buzz and have you walk me through it, because I'm sure it's like 10 minutes of somebody that knows what I'm trying to accomplish to get it done.
Yeah, they're fairly straightforward. So, so whatever you need, Dakota, myself, any number of us could probably walk you through that. The probably the only thing that's a little persnickety, not even, but it's just, if you want to do the digital modes, you got to remember to go into the settings and tell it which digital mode you want to do, and then you have the choice of an analog connection or that particular digital mode. So that's one that boogers up if you want to use it for, I'm sorry, I'm thinking of the open spot. Or the clear node. Never mind. On the open spots. Never mind. I'm mixing up my...
KDA WOJ.
I unkeyed abruptly there. It's my weak thumb on this microphone. But morning, Rick. Go ahead and pass over to Dakota.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Good to catch you out there. Just came in from feeding the kitties there and having a little roast beef hash for breakfast. And thought I'd jump on in here and see what you guys are up to. And Sean, I'm curious. You said your main hub, I think, was Fenton. Is that W8FSM? I got a little few questions about that one. Dakota, go ahead.
Morning, Rick. Yeah, Anthony, if you need something, give me a call. I think we got most of the challenging stuff out of the way, so we'll figure it out. I think Anthony and then Sean.
Cool. Yeah, it's one of those funny things that once you have it figured out and know all the lingo, it's easy. But at first glance, it takes a while to pluck away and make sure everything's set up right. So that's why I say it's probably a 10-minute conversation. So over to you, Sean.
Right. So, yeah, I'll get you hooked up, you know, pretty short order, I'm sure. So, and Rick, as far as Fenton goes, it is in W8FSM's data center. But the hub is, you know, the 43732 Kate FBI hub and the 48412, you know, quote-unquote FBI Q. Really, those names are antiquated, kind of deprecated. Really, it's the 43732 I kind of want to just, like, you know, established repeaters connecting to, and then the 48412 is for... you know, private nodes, you know, and guests. I have guests come in. I'm probably going to change it up. There's going to be a set of new, so I don't know if you use your clear node to connect up to the FBI ever, but we'll probably be getting a new numbering schema coming up because I got like 10 five-digit numbers, and I get to give them back. I'm going to give at least seven or eight of them back. And then just do a split on the couple. I'll probably keep 43732 just for good measure. And then, you know, because that's everything that's published all over the place. And then I'll take my 48,000 and my 48,100 and split those. And that'll give me everything I'll need till the end of time. Give at least seven back. They're asking for them. And I got no problem with it. Dakota, or no, Rick?
Well, cool. I do use 43732 every now and then. And the W8FSM, I had to get rid of that off my scan. It seemed like every time I'd hit the scan and it hit W8FSM, I would get nothing but loud squealing that just about pierced my eardrums for quite a long time. So I finally removed it from the scan. So when you said Fenton, I thought, that's the same place. Anyway, it's good to hear you guys. I've been catching up with you there. I've been catching up with you a little bit lately, but I haven't really been, too social. I've been having a few bad days. Actually, most days are bad, but some are much worse than others. So I haven't been on much, just been doing some listening.
Nerd question, do you guys run your fans on your Raspberry Pis exhausting or intaking?
I don't have an answer to that question. I'd have to go look. I never even thought of it.
I'm still a little bit of a fanatic for the 3D pluses. I think they do everything we need with ample performance to spare. The 3D pluses and then, you know, where applicable, the 2W. So I don't run fans on either one of those because those run cool as a cucumber. I've never seen anything more than warmth. Now you start getting into the 4s and 5s, they start to get pretty warm and require a fan. So I avoid those just for that reason alone. you know, because the power requirements go up and all that. But on the ones that I have had, I don't think I've had a 5 yet. I've had a couple of 4s. I think I have blown in, you know, so they were sucking in air and blowing it right onto the componentry. But the cases that I use the same one I think you have with all them holes in it. Since the holes are all over the damn place, I didn't trust it was going to draw the air across the components, so I blew onto them and figured it could exhaust anywhere it wanted. If I had just, let's say, holes in the bottom or, you know, in a part of the case where it had to draw the air through over the components, I might go with exhaust, if that makes any sense.
Well, my Pi 5 is kind of new to me, but it's definitely intake is flowing on the components and quite a bit. And it's just warm, but it's been running 24/7 for many months now. So it doesn't seem to have me too much trouble with overheating. And I kind of like, I've got a HDMI switch box here, and I like to hop between Windows, where do you want to crash today, and the Pi system to iOS. It's kind of fun having in between. I don't do a whole lot in the machine anymore, so Pi usually suffices for me. I'm just surfing YouTube an awful lot. Dakota, go ahead.
NADBF. I know that was really random, but I was looking at mine before I left, and I'm like, I feel like I need to flip that fan, because mine's exhausting, but it's a little 25-mil fan, not spinning very fast, so I'm sure it's not pulling a whole lot over the board. So, Sean, I think you're right. I'm going to flip that when I get home. But anyway, sorry for derailing the conversation.
I am in my final approach here, so I'm going to make this my final. And we will talk to you guys later. I'll be listening out, and if I get an opportunity, we'll turn on the phone app and get back in the conversation. This is KEA-RUH. Everybody have a good morning. Talk to you again.
All right, Anthony. We'll talk to you later.
Later, Anthony.
Make sure I got it. Okay, yeah, so like I said, if your case supports, you know, if the holes are in places where it's going to naturally draw, you know, across the components in an exhaust situation, then, you know, then that all, so be it. That's great. Has the, you know, has, I don't know if there's an advantage to doing that, but it seems like it could. You know, my problem is that I use those perforated cases that are, they got holes everywhere. They got holes in the top, sides, all around, and everything. So if I were to exhaust, you know, there's a good amount of the air I'm drawing in would be drawn in, you know, well above the componentry. And so, you know, and then out without giving any cooling effect, I believe. So that's why, like I said, I blow in, and, you know, you know the maximum amount of the air is hit the componentry, and then it can exhaust wherever the hell it wants. It doesn't matter to me. So the case design to me dictates, you know, whether you can do in or out. You know, if your case, you know, if where you put your fan isn't over the components, you know, as well. You know, I had one that was kind of funky like that. I forget why, but I had one that the fan was in a weird spot, like on the bottom of the board. In that case, I would have gone for the, you know, exhaust. But, anywho, that was a weird, I can't remember what that was that did that. I remember scratching my head and thinking, I gotta go exhaust on this because I'm not blowing on anything. Just the bottom of the board, which probably helps a little, but you get my point.
Yeah, I just pulled the top off of mine to take a look there, and it's got a gigantic heat sink on it with a fan mounted to it that's blowing right on the components there. So it doesn't feel warm at all, and the fan's not even blowing at the moment. Of course, it hasn't been used in a week or two. But anyway, I was asking earlier, when are we going to get together somewhere and send some lead downrange? KEWJ, Dakota.
I'm going in that hole on 53, but hopefully soon, as soon as the weather keeps breaking, I'm dying to go shoot.
You know, we talked about that the other day, Rick and I. Where do you go, Dakota? I guess you've got options compared to me, for sure. Probably Rick as well, you know, being out where you're at. But where do you like to go?
Yeah, go ahead, Dakota. I just go, nearest really good state range to me is Pontiac Lake over by the airport in Pontiac. But that's a long way for you guys to go. Go ahead, Dakota.
My buddy's got a farm up in Emily, which unfortunately I'm not allowed to bring guests, but he's got a 300-yard range there. So that's where I dial in my rifles. Pistols, I've been going to range USA. Do not like public ranges, especially in the city. Way too many people that don't know what they're doing. But aside from that, you know, I got plenty of private property that I hunt where I can go shoot some pistols if I want to. I'm trying to think where else. Macomb Sportsman's Club is actually a really, really great place, but it's ran by a bunch of 100-year-old men that treat it like it's a cult, so you can't go unless you know a member there, which I do know a few, but I just, the vibe there is not for me. Aside from that, that's pretty much it.
You know, it figures that right when you were telling me that, I pulled up in a window here in the Bruce and was chatting up, so thank you. I heard the Friends Farm that you can't, you don't have guest privileges on, and I heard the range there, but you said something right at the tail end. I missed, so when it comes back around.
Yeah, I think he was just talking about the Macomb Sportsman's Club. So I've heard of that one, but I ain't sure where it's at. I know there was the Detroit Sportsman's Club. That was over on the Quinder by 23 Mile or whatever. That'd be a ways for you guys to go to. But there's always the Lapeer Sportsman's Club, which we were talking about the other day, Sean. They've got a 200-yard range there. And their website, they post the usually on one Saturday and Sunday, at least a month, they're open to the public, so anybody can wander on in there and shoot for the day. I kind of like the state ranges. The one over here in Pontiac, they have three major sections of benches kind of thing, and they have at least three, sometimes four, I want to call them DNR guys, but they're not. They're park guys, but watching each section of it, and they make sure everybody is doing exactly what they're supposed to. I feel pretty safe there. Anyway, all right, KEWJ. Go ahead, Sean.
I don't know if that's another bad spot on 53 or if I got something going on or I'm just killing this FTM 150, but I've said it the last couple weeks. This thing just sounds like crap all the time, and I think my antenna's okay, so not sure what's going on. But, yeah, Macomb Sportsman's Club is over off of Inwood and Mound. It's up by me. Well, not really up by me. It's Washington Township, I think. Super nice facility. Just ran by, you know, a very elder group of culty men that make it not enjoyable. If they open it to the public, it would be an awesome facility because there's really no one out there to go other than the members.
Oh, yeah, I know a few people belong out there. Jeff, WCAD, and Karen, NHOIL, they are both members out there. And I remember when they were in a lottery to get membership and then working there, you know, morning, noon, and night. They were there all the time getting their time in. Because once you get a certain amount of time in, then you get lifetime membership and that. So, but that's a pretty nice facility, I understand. But, yeah, you're right. It's private. And, you know, so there's that. You know, I know a member can bring guests, but, I go to the pit, you know. I mean, that's what I like. I have not, it's the shame of it all is I've not been there in so long. It has actually became that state ran, you know, since I was last there, just to give you an example of how long it's been since I've been out.
Yeah, there used to be one I used to visit every once in a while at right around 23 in Gratiot, a little bit west of Gratiot. I can't remember the name of it, but it was named right after there's a gun shop at 23 in Gratiot. It seemed like they had the same name. There was an old codger there that ran the place. He was a pretty cool guy. And yeah, the good old pit in LaPierre there. They filled it up with benches, and I'm not sure if you could even shoot 100 yards there anymore. Well, it never was 100. It was more like about 80 or 90 to the back of the hill there. But anyway, it's all filled up with benches now, and I have not shot there myself, I have to admit. But just down the road at the curve there, there's another big pit in there, and we used to go in the first pit and get filled up with people there. We'd go around to the second pit and pick your spot. It was kind of nice in there. I don't know if they still allow that or not. Dakota, go ahead.
For the longest time growing up, and when I lived at home, I mean, this was 10, 15 years ago, there was 200 acres across the street that I'd hunt. There was a gravel pit in that 200 acres, and we'd go shooting there. And it was great because you could do whatever you wanted. We had about, I don't know, 75, 80 yards. You weren't dialing in rifles, but you could go blow stuff off, shoot ARs, pistols. It was a good time, but I'm partial to the pits. Just there's none that I know of that I can get in right now. And I forgot to mention Blue Water. I think it's Blue. I don't know if it's Blue Water Sportsman's Club or just Blue Water. Out in Port Huron, it's a sweet facility. It's just a hike for me now. It was cool when I lived in Armada. And my buddy was a member there, but I was in the process of applying for my membership, and then we sold the house. I'm like, well, I'm not doing this now. But they have days where they'll open up their 600-yard range. I think they've got, at all times, they've got 200, maybe 300-yard ranges. They've got tons of places to shoot pistols. It's a sweet facility, but again, it's out there.
Yeah, I've heard about that one. But don't they have to, like, shut down a road, and so they only do the long stuff, you know, every once in a while, special events, because they got to shut down the roads. And then I hear it's a real zoo to try to get out there and use it. But not that it's a problem, but, a lot of people, you know, always name that one for the long range, I think 400.
Yeah, there's a gun club in Ypsilanti, too, Ford Lake, something or other kind of thing, and they've got a 600-yard range there. And on Wednesday, they have an open F-class practice, so you could go out there and shoot 600 yards. But I haven't been there in quite a while. As soon as the heart trouble started, I had to quit going over there. But it was there's a lot of doggone fun shooting 600 yards. But there is a 1,000-yard range. But it's up north of, what's the name of that town now? It's south of Kalkaska on 66 there. But it's members only, and they're charging $1,000 for the yearly membership.
Is it Mancelona? And, yeah, Sean, I think it might be 600. But, yeah, they got to shut down pretty much the entire facility just to get that distance. And yeah, a bunch of Chris Kyles go out there and think they're gonna shoot 600 yards with their 3x9. So I've never been, don't really have any desire to. I've got fields I can go shoot 500 if I really want to shoot that far, but I don't have anything that carries that far. I got a 223, but whoop-de-doo, I'm not going to be shooting that over 400.
I'm checking in. Let me tend to this and jump back in here. But then if I get too pulled off, I'll catch you guys later. Drive safe. W8FU.
Okay, young man. And, yeah, I know what you mean there, Dakota. I when I headed over to Ypsilanti there the first time at that 600-yard range, I took a off-the-shelf 700 VS in 308. And I actually shot a half-minute angle group at 600 yards with my deer loads. The guy that was running the place was trying like heck to buy the rifle from me. He wanted to make a tube gun out of it.
All right, Sean, we'll catch you later. I'm pulling in too here. And, yeah, you know, there's people that know how to shoot, and there's people that don't. And the people that don't are the ones that love saying they can shoot long distance. But I am back into my spot rig, so maybe I'll catch you this afternoon or later this evening. I'll be playing a little bit of radio. I'll listen out. NACBS.
All right, take care, young man, and both of you, and have a good day. And, yeah, you're right. I used to love to go to the Sportsman's Club, Lapeer Sportsman's Club, on their sight-in days. And everybody would brag about what kind of groups and what kind of rifle they had and how fantastic it shot, knowing full well in just about 3-4 minutes they were going to sit down at the bench and have to prove it. And most of them couldn't hit the target. Of course, they blame the wife, knocking it around in the closet, and, you know, everything but themselves. But anyway, it was always fun. I enjoyed helping them. KEAWOJ, we'll catch you guys later. Have a great day.
You're connected to CMN Network.
W8BB.
KDAKJL.
Morning, Tom. KDAWOJ.
Currently
how are you
healing up
network.
Today?
I'm hanging in there, young man. I was going to ask you the same. I hope you can still get better.
Each day is an improvement. Let's just say that. It usually takes my body about a week to get back to normal after being sick, so I just relax.
There you go. You can't really weather you that town under the weather. You really can't keep much more than that. So what part of Michigan are you headed for today?
Oh, it's all in district, local, you know, what is it, Southfield, Sterling Heights, you know, stuff like that. Nothing far out, that's only on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Oh, well, that's good. I heard you on your way home yesterday from Gaylord, one of my favorite places.
Yeah, probably got to go back up there again. We'll see. They're saying they're still having issues, but we don't see what it is. But we know what they're seeing and what they're expecting and what reality is kind of thing. So we'll see what happens after they have their IT people check into things.
You ever been to that park in town there where they got the elk? Kind of interesting. Of course, they're all fenced in, but there's still elk.
No, I saw the sign, and that might be something I might do with the daughter and the wife, you know, this summer. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, anytime I get up there, I try to get over and give it a peek, kind of thing. You get to see them fairly close. Well, when they're being fed over the fence, kind of thing, you get to see them pretty close. The racks that they've got. So, but sometimes they're kind of way spread out in the field. You kind of need binoculars to get a good look at them.
Yeah, I think my daughter would be interested in that. She's a big animal nut. just hoping to see some when we went up to the Whitefish Point last year, but that didn't happen. But maybe that's something we'll do this summer.
Well, I bet the scenery was nice at Whitefish Point there. That's I think once I was through there, but I didn't get a chance to stop, look around kind of thing. It was just a quick glance on the way through. But yeah, there's also the Pigeon River wilderness area there north of Gaylord, and you can see the elk out running around in their natural habitat. They got a couple of viewing areas there, Forest Park, lots of mountain fields out there. So, kind of interesting. Sometimes, whether it's spring or fall, they get the view, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, usually when I go up there for work, me and my coworker, and we just get up, do what we got to do, and then get home. I mean, if we rode together, we went up to Petoskey. I mean, we went driving around after the ice storm to see how bad it was up there. That's about it. Or we go up and get fudge, you know, from Killwinds, you know, things like that. I mean, we went up that one time to the top. Don't know, you got to go to Sheboygan. So we went to Sheboygan to take care of that. And then we went to Mackinac City. I got some fudge from a neighbor. And we went up to, oh, what the heck is that place? Lato's. Pasties and got a bunch of pasties. So we kind of spent the day up there because we were done early with work, so we burned off some time and then we came home. KCKCO.
Yeah, I can understand getting up there, wanting to hurry up and get home. Have to do a little bit of 2 hours of work and then turn around and drive all the way back. I guess that would make me want to get it done and ready to open. Yeah, I used to like Sheboygan's one of my favorite places. I used to like fishing steelhead at the dam there, right in town. And they got the river goes out there, town. Nice place.
Yeah, we were only there for like 20 minutes. Take care of a camera system and then we took off. You're kind of scratchy today. Well, it might just be me.
No, it's probably me. I'm on the porch with a little 5-watt handheld. And, probably not holding it in the right spot.
Oh, it's one of those old sayings, it's not me, it's you.
Yeah. At least you still got your sense of humor.
Well, probably because I'm not fully awake yet.
Oh, okay, I know what you mean. I used to leave the ship. I was at the hour. The crazy guy who comes to talk to me.
Yeah, it all depends on the day. Like yesterday, I was a little bit more bright-eyed and bushy-tailed when I woke up. I actually left the house a little bit early. We had to go to Flint and then to Gaylord. And so I met at my coworker's house, and I was there like 15 minutes early. And I said, did my Ring doorbell pick you up? Did it show that I was stalking you? You know, he kind of laughed.
Yeah, this cold weather don't help either. I've been wanting to get down. We got a new fishing license. We want to get down the lake. It's just like we have a very down the road there. Check it out. But between the cold and just being wore out all the time, I think, well, nope, I'm going to wait till it's a little bit nicer.
Oh, I'm sure I'm lacking some vitamins somewhere. I mean, I take vitamin D every Saturday. And who knows? Maybe I just need a little bit more, maybe some magnesium and some B-complex or something. give me a little bit more energy. You know, I was kind of drained yesterday. I forgot to take all my meds, my night meds. Woke up this morning and took my day meds. I'm like, wait, that bottle's not supposed to be there. It's supposed to be over there. So that says, oh, no, I didn't take my meds last night. Oops.
I know that feeling. You're not alone there. I have two groups of pills, the twice-a-day pills and the once-a-day pills. And if I miss one of the twice-a-day pills there, my chest lets me know right away.
Well, yeah, I almost forgot to take my asthma meds this morning. You know, I'm like, I'm missing something. Also, my chest says, you forgot. I'm like, oops. But I had to go back in there, take both, you know, their disc, you know, their inhalation disc, so I take two of those, you know, I take two different types there, one for asthma, one for COPD, and then I take my tachycardia meds in the morning with my metformin, and then at night I take my blood pressure med, my cholesterol med, my happy pill, and then, my metformin again, so it's a constant routine, but all I do is move my metformin to one side or the other of the shelf, so I know what I did last, and it was in the wrong spot last night, so which means I did not take my meds last night.
That's a good way to do it. I have the, I have one on the twice a day on one shelf, one day on the other shelf. I go out at 5 in the morning to feed the cat. I take the first of the twice a day. And then in the evening, when I go out, 5, 6 in the evening, there I go out to feed her again. I take the second one to the day. In the morning, I take the one to feed her. So get a little confused when I take the feed.
Yeah, there's been a couple times I've been, you know, forgetting to take them. I mean, I ran out of my BP meds and took a while for them to get refilled. I thought the doc just didn't want me on them anymore since my cholesterol was down. But you know, my BP still spikes here and there. So finally got them filled and got back on them.
Yeah, I gotta take those all the time myself. I got an aortic aneurysm that's getting pretty big surgery on. Got a valve that's either got a hole in it or a tear or something.
One med that I take for tachycardia, that's keeps my heart from doing what I call the Macarena, you know, skipping around every so often. And then the BP med, that keeps everything level. So it's probably why I had such severe headaches on the weekend. I was on my meds, but probably just my blood pressure was spiking here and there. Because they were the worst headache I've had in a long, long time.
Oh, I really hate headaches. Luckily, I haven't had them in a long time. It's really bad for sinus. Now, it's mostly I take two different pills for chest pain. I miss them or don't take them, it feels like I'm having a heart attack. I know right away that I miss them. It takes quite a while after that. If chest pain starts, so I take a nitro, and then I take those, and then after a while, it seems like I call it, I'm taking my pills anymore, I call it drugging.
that little scare, I mean, we don't take any chances kind of thing. I mean, I have a heart murmur too, so that's in there. And then I have a low normal ventricular flow rate, is how he described it. So that's probably where the murmur is at. You know, so just keep on my meds and keep me good, but keep the weight down. I've got cholesterol under control now. So everything's better than it was.
Well, excellent. Keep up the good work there. I got all kinds of things going on. I was in the hospital recently, and I need a couple of different kinds of surgery, but they said they will not do the surgery because they don't think I can survive. So there's that, you know. So I'm kind of stuck with the way things are, and they're not very good. K-A-W-O-J.
K-C-A-K, Joe. Well, all you gotta just remember is that it's still kicking like a mule. You know, you're only as old as you feel. Some days you feel like you're a 90-year-old, sometimes you feel like you're a 9-year-old. So I kind of try to keep that in my mind, and my coworker helps keep me on a level ground. So it's all good.
Good. I know for me, I'm chicken. I'm going to kick it off. Accepting is kind of hard. But whatever, but it don't really matter. We're all going to go sooner or later, so it don't really matter much anymore. It's like to get as much fishing and shooting as I can before that happens. C-A-W-O-J.
You know, try to do tests every day, or, you know, my coworker and I, we park further out, you know, so we get more steps in, and we get a lot of steps in, and then we find a way to get steps in. He's a little bit more active on it than I am, but I'm doing pretty good. I did 10,000 one day, and felt good about myself.
0, 800, 5,
you know, when we're doing this 5K coming up and up.
35
degrees. I'm not running it, of course. Jeez, I fall over on the first 500 feet. So, give me a nice 5K walk and, you know, just enjoy the day. My grandfather was 93 years old and was still active. And he broke his hip and that kind of slowed him down, and then he got sick. But besides that, he was always, always busy.
Well, that's good. You don't do all that much, plus work, and that's better. I come from the basement going outside. I got to stop. Once I get up to the first floor there, I got to stop for rest. And then get out to the... I couldn't make it to the mailbox. I just wanted to... I'd have to stop a couple times on the way. The mailbox ain't very far.
Well, you sound very chipper now, so that's a good sign. All right, I got to jump. I got a meeting to get started, so I got to get on that before they have a fit that I'm not there. So I will talk to you later. K-C-A-K-J-O.
Okay, Tom, have a good day, and keep up the good work, and we'll catch you later. KGHOJ, I'll be clear.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
You're breaking.
Good morning. 0900 hours. Cloudy. 35 degrees. Connected to CMN Network. Good morning, 1000 hours. Cloudy. 33 degrees.
Echo 8, Foxtrot, Lima Yankee, monitoring.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Echo 8, Foxtrot, Lima Yankee, radio check.
This is Whiskey 8 Delta Bravo Kilo. I heard a radio check.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Good morning, 1100 hours. Cloudy. 33 degrees.
This is KF8SKH, looking for QSO, over.
Connected to CMN Network. Good afternoon. 1200 hours. Cloudy. 32 degrees.
WAFU, KPR.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Kilo FOA, Foxtrot, Lima Yankee, monitoring. Kilo FOA, Foxtrot, Lima Yankee, whatever, station that was that speed up. They were using quite a bit of repeaters.
Good afternoon. 1300 hours. Cloudy. 34 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network.
WADD.
Kilo Echo 8, Foxtrot, Lima Yankee, radio check.
Kilo Echo 8, Whiskey November Victor, monitoring.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Cloudy. 36 degrees. Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Cloudy. 35 degrees. Connected to CMN Network.
WNFSM. WNFU.
WAEAP. WAFU.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KE8RUH.
Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Cloudy. 36 degrees.
NADBF.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Good afternoon, 1700 hours. Cloudy. 35 degrees. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Good evening, 1800 hours. Cloudy. 33 degrees. Connected to CMN Network.
Kilo Echo 8, Foxtrot, Lima Yankee, monitoring.
It's so exciting.
You're connected to CMN Network. Good evening, 1900 hours. Cloudy. 32 degrees. Currently connected to CMN Network. Good evening. 20 hours. Cloudy. 32 degrees. Connected to CMN Network.
NHWSJL, KF8ATC. No con, NHWSJL, KF8ATC, my.
Good evening. 21 hours. Cloudy. 31 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Kilo SLA, Foxtrot Mimi, radio check.
Who is the station calling again?
This is K8BB.
Call sign is K8BB, like Kilo 8 Bravo Bravo. Your signal's a little in and out of the repeater. You're strong sometimes, and then you fade out to nothing, and then you kind of fade back in again. So it's not real stable.
Hi, Kathy. I was just checking my signal here. Well, my radio's at like 6.5 volts, so it's dying. I'm going to go with 7-3, all right? I was just checking my signal. Have a good night.
Okay. Yeah, you were a little more solid that time, so maybe the antenna was just in the right place. I missed the call sign, so when you sign, I'll catch your call. But 7-3 from K8BB. I guess. I sniff under my arm and see if I smell.
Good evening. What's shaking?
Not much. Semi-work from home Wednesday. Morning appointments. I was out on the road all morning, but afternoon at home and a really busy day tomorrow. So, just out in the shack, you know, trying to pretend to be a DXer.
Thank God.
There you go. Well, at least you're working it. So, I was just putzing around, doing a little banking. Yeah. And tomorrow is going to be interviews all day. Got six interviews lined up. And I've got high hopes for at least two of the candidates. And one I've actually interviewed before, and I would hire. Matter of fact, he was my second choice in the last time we hired. And I regretted not picking him instead. So I still got six to interview, but I know I've got the one guy, so I feel pretty good about
good evening.
The prospects of getting a new technician tomorrow.
Cloudy.
But that's my tomorrow, and then I got Friday off. We get half the day off for Good Friday, which that in and of itself makes it good. It's already Friday, so yeehaw. And then I took the other few hours off. But so that's my schedule going into the weekend.
Well, nice. Well, let me see. Good luck with the interviews tomorrow. Hope everything goes well. Yeah, I'm booked. My first appointment is 8 in the morning tomorrow, and we have a dinner engagement with some friends at 7 p.m., so it's going to be like leave the house at 7:30 in the morning and come home at 9:30 at night. Such is certain age. So, fine. If you're up for Covessa or for lunch later, I have a usual dad appointment in the morning, and after that, kind of TBD. I'll have to do a little work. I'm going to need to go to a title company office and pick up a bunch of documents and some checks and then head to my office and deal with them. But probably be done by with all of that stuff around lunchtime. Open if that's an option. And in all my stuff driving around town tomorrow, I need to see if I can reach out to Mark. I've got a big receiver in the back seat of my car I drove around with all day today. And I thought I ought to reach out to Mark and see if we can connect, and I never did. So, dummy me, it would have been the easier day to do it today. Maybe we'll connect up tomorrow for the day after. So, that's about it.
Yeah, I was kind of following the conversation on that, so boy, that'll be nice. I wish I had the, the place to set it up. I don't. Not at all. Couldn't even really make space for it. And, but I would enjoy taking it for a cruise. So he'll probably enjoy that. But it's an impressive looking piece of equipment. It really is. It's different looking as well. So, yeah, I saw that 4K and I thought, man, there was a time not too long ago where that was on your list. But I said, I don't think he's really hot for one like he was because of the whole 765, 781 thing. I think you'd be looking in a different direction. But thought I'd post it anyhow. And yeah, I don't know how that ranks. Price-wise, it's probably not horrible. It's probably par for the course. I'd probably want to get a better deal, but then I always do, because that's my nature. Ton of stuff, though. Good grief. A lot of stuff right up Murph's alley with all the Collins gear and stuff.
Yeah, I'll kind of go in order here. Yeah, the receiver, it's an impressive machine, so, and I'm very appreciative for the opportunity to have it, and I'm like, you know what, I'm probably not going to get rid of it, so let's spread it around, so at some point in the near future or whenever, if you do want to get it on the desk or the bench or the end table, feel free to let me know, kind of spread it around a little bit. What else was I going to say? Oh, darn it all, I had like three sets of comments. My mind just went blank.
Well, hang on a second. What was, like, the last thing you were talking about? Because I had a comment on that.
Oh, I was talking about, you know, the receiver and then, you know, and then the 4K and the gear and the list that I sent over there and how they're, you know, I know you wouldn't really be, probably, you know, I wasn't sure, but I figured I'd shoot that 4K out there just the same. And then a lot of gear Murph's probably drooling over.
Yeah, that was at the 4K. So I think if I still, if I was more enamored with the 781 than I ended up being, then the 4K is would be like a no-brainer. And as far as the price, it's probably not a bad price. I mean, if you think about it, it's an auto-tune, solid-state, reliable kilowatt. You know, so that price is not bad. you know, internal auto-tuner. You know, so you can use it barefoot with an auto-tuner or, you know, run the amp. So that price is probably fair. And given its rarity from the era that it was produced and its cost in the era that it was produced, it's got some collector value, too. So that price is probably about right. And if I, you know, if I had the 781, and again, if I was as enamored with the 781 as I expected to be, I might be figuring out how to get that one, so that's not bad. The other thing I know is, you're right on the Collins gear. I still have a little itch. The only Collins piece I've ever had was a 3001 amplifier, and it was okay. I beat the snot out of it over at the contest and sold it to some guy. But every once in a while I keep thinking of, you know, a nice winged emblem KWM2. Not the A, I don't need all the complication with all the extra crystal stuff, just a straight KWM2 and a 3001 amp and, you know, the little console. That'd be a nice little vintage Studio B, you know, to contrast with the C-Line. And there was plenty to pick through on that list as far as, you know, power supplies, and there were three or four KWM2s. One of them was about $500, and it looked, I just glanced at the picture, and I'm like, wow, that's really clean. Price may be a little high for what it is, especially if there's no power supply. There all the fixings there of a nice little system. But I don't feel the need to scratch that itch for some time. But yeah, quite a list.
Well, I did notice it was a make an offer kind of an affair, and I thought the 2A's were going for $5. I thought the 2's were coming in a little less. But I kind of wouldn't mind a 2A. I guess you could do a 2 as well. But I've always been the opposite. I've always kind of wanted the most refined version. So the complications does excite me somewhat. But I really, you know, I can't be looking at something like that. I mean, if I fell in the one, but I'd never really be actively looking at this point. Now, the one thing he did have is he had some Collins 390s, not A's, and I would love to have a Collins 390. He had a working one of those. I think I'd be interested, and the price was right, that's for sure. He had an SP600. I know Murph's big on those, but you know, who knows? You know, if I want a 390 and Murph wants that SP600 and a couple other items and you're interested in that, maybe we make him an offer, right?
Yeah, well, I didn't look at the link carefully, so I guess I didn't see the make offer thing. Although I suppose that could also get into an auction situation. Like, well, if you have three different people make me offers, you'd take the best offer, obviously, but I missed that part. I was on my phone. I'll have to slide over to the other desk here and bring that up on the screen, computer screen, and click around. But yeah, an impressive list of stuff. So most of the KWM2s that I saw were 300, and I didn't look at the prices on the 2As. When it was on my phone, I had to like slide back and forth to see the price list. I actually missed it the first time. And then later on, I just happened to pick another KWM2, and that one was 500. So it was either an exceptionally nice one or it was a, you know, a misprint or something. Maybe it had a power supply integrated or whatever. I don't remember. I didn't check that close, but might look again. But again, I'm not. I don't want to go there, and so I'm. I don't want to click too inquisitively. KABB.
Yeah, there's a bunch in that list, but no, if you read the very, you know, the first, second, there's some bullet points. The third paragraph, I guess, if you will, right at the very top before you get to the list, you know, it says, if you're interested in any items on this page, it gives you the, you know, and then, you know, they say your name and call sign, the item number you're interested in, and the price you would like to pay for each item.
Yeah, okay. I guess I missed that part. I did not read any of that stuff, so I'll check it out.
But the same reason I can't help myself when I go to swaps. I always come home with something, and I almost can't help myself. It's a disease. So that's why you haven't seen me at too many swaps in recent years, because I really honestly can't be buying anything unless I'm going to sell, and I really should be doing that. That's what I should be doing. I should be going down there. I should be getting tables and selling stuff. But I'm too lazy for that. So I don't have enough self-control to go down there without taking stuff, and I don't have enough. I'm too lazy to go down there with stuff. So I'm in this conundrum.
Yeah. Hey, your audio's a little. Are you on the node or on the RF link or something? I forgot that I didn't listen to the courtesy tone to see which one you were doing, but it just seems a little light on this end, if I may be critical.
But it may be that I'm not talking into the mic. I'm kind of browsing here, and I've got the mic off to the side and possibly not talking into it, but is this any better? This is talking right into the mic.
That seems to have a little better proximity effect.
All right, yeah, I don't know. This is the FDM 500. I don't know. I've never really had any comments on it one way or the other.
Well, I always think everybody that I hear has bad audio, so I'm going to eventually say something. That's how I roll. But anyhow, yeah, let me know if you want to do something on Sunday. I'm open-ish for late brunch, lunch-ish, probably more lunch. Yeah, obviously not needed. If you got other stuff you're going to do on Friday, that's fine, but I'll be in the office area midday.
My comment on my audio now. I noticed that the mic gain on the radio is set to low. I just bumped it up to medium. But, yeah, no, that sounds good, actually. I failed to comment on that last time around. If Phil works at, like, 16 in Rochester, and I may go by there at some point. I want to get a price on radio, and there's no easy way to do it. It's a long story, but when you're buying commercial radios, it's like a buffet. You know, you have to say, you know, oh yeah, I want the mashed potatoes and I want the gravy. You know, in addition to the turkey, and it's kind of like that, and sometimes it's a little cryptic and. You know, getting the chart that shows you all the side dishes that you can get is sometimes readily available. In this particular case, it's not. So I got to sit down with somebody at the computer who's logged into their account and go through the oh yeah, check that box kind of a thing. And I may stop in and do that on Friday, but other than that, which I don't imagine it's going to take a lot of time, it could be done literally any time during the day. I'm pretty much out about and free, so I like it. Covfefe it is. We'll have to figure out where, though, since the office is shut down. Comment on the audio, by the way.
Yeah, audio's better. I think it's right where it needs to be. Yeah, low is just not enough. So medium seems to be fine. I'll be okay higher, but it's good. So I guess Phil's back in town, because I just clicked over to his repeater, and it's turned back on. So I assume that while he was out, he had it shut down. But he's back in town, that's good, and I'll listen on his. Because if I'm just in the family room, and I just have a handheld sitting on the bar next to the computer, I don't always hear this repeater real well. It's fine, except my laptop causes RFI right on UHF. So if the laptop is sitting on the bar and the handheld sitting on the bar, it's not good. I gotta set the handheld over like by the windowsill or something. And his repeater is just so much closer, so it overcomes the laptop RFI issues. So, good. Well, I guess he's back in town. Yeah, so again, Fridays are TBD, but I'm open. And I'm thinking there's a few good places down there. Hello? Did the Warren repeater drop? Because actually I was back monitoring myself here for a minute because I was... Anyway, it seems to be back on, but I'm on Phil's now. As I say, is that there's some good places in Rilo. So a couple... Atomic Coffee's good for coffee. There's a couple of good lunch places. You know, it's easy. We'll figure it out.
Oh, yeah, I figure there's no shortage of places. I mean, you know, I liked the office. I liked the vibe in there, and I liked the, you know, just the whole, just the business model and stuff. So, but there's plenty of other places, and, you know, maybe it's time to explore. I haven't been to Atomic. I wouldn't mind doing that. If we're doing just coffee, I wouldn't mind trying that one. And if we're looking for something a little bit more than that, there's, you know, a gazillion places. So I will defer to you, though, being the expert on the region.
Expert, except I go to the same three places all the time, and that was one of them. So there's a place down there, Cafe Muse. Nice food, nice vibe. They're only open for brunch and lunch, and then they close, and then they open again for dinner later. And they close early for lunch. I think they're done at 1:30 or something. So I think they're open. Actually, I think they're open for breakfast, lunch, and then they close, and they open back up for dinner. I like that place. They're not open on Mondays. They're not open on Tuesdays. Really good menu, good quality ingredients, spotty service, but you know, it's a good place. If I'm looking for something different, I might get there. I'll go there and sit at the bar and have lunch. Pronto, obviously, has its pluses and minuses. and then there's just like the regular, you know, Village Coney Diner on 11 Mile, just east of downtown, that I've been once or twice recently. That's good. What else is downtown? I mean, there's interesting stuff, but I don't do interesting stuff. I like boring. Good. You know, I like boring, but good, but still boring. So, I don't know a ton of the other places there. Oh, you know what's really good? Tim Brady's. That's a nice place. It's a little upscale. It's right at the south end of downtown. It's right by the freeway. It's, I think it's on Washington. Basically just north of 696. Used to be down on the Fashion District between 7 Mile and 8 Mile in Livernois in Detroit for like a million years. And that one eventually closed, and then some years ago they reopened in Royal Oak. Diamond Jim Brady's. Nice place. That's a good lunch, too.
Okay, well, I've been to neither of those, so either one would work. All right, I'll be listening. I'll probably sleep in a little bit. I don't sleep too late, though, even when I sleep in. And then once I'm up and about, I'll just, I know you've got things to do, so I'll just have the radio on. And when you're free and out and about, providing nothing detours you, just put a call out. And, I'm only 5 minutes from there, so. I'll probably plan my trip. Probably plan my trip to Phil's place if I go. After that, it work out pretty good. But I'm gonna hit it here. I got, like I said, I got interviews all day tomorrow, so I got to get up and, you know, got to be high and tight and get a nice clean shave. And I'm seeing whether I put on a jacket or not. I struggle with that. It's like, should I look like I normally look day to day, you know, more working man, casual, business casual, or do I dress up like I do occasionally when I go to meetings? I don't know. Figure, why put on pretenses? Just do the business cash like I normally am. But anyhow, I'll have to debate over it and wring my hands over it in the morning, so I'm going to get up early and look in the mirror three times and try to figure out what appearance I want to put forward.
Well, we'll get a jacket. Easy for me to say. I wear a tie every day to mow the lawn. All right, let's go. We'll figure out Friday, and I'll see if I can figure out how to connect up with Mark, too. Unrelated. All right, 7-3. Enjoy tomorrow. Have fun. WAFU-KABD.
All righty. We'll talk to you then, if not before. K8BB from W8FU.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Good evening, 23 hours. Cloudy. 31 degrees. Connected to CMN Network. We're connected to CMN Network.